motion to accept them as written.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Keith? Okay, financials up there, we have a total of $14,250,000 in cash and investments, of which $9,857 is related to FAD. We have an investment coming due at the end of, in the middle of July, and judging by what our cash flows are looking at here, we're probably gonna wind up pulling it back into the regular cash instead of an investment. We've been spending a lot of money, and it's a good thing we're spending money, but we're not gonna get reimbursement from the Army Corps for probably 6 months or a year, so I'm gonna have to make it up out of our cash until we get that.
What's the total we've gotten in the last 12 months or 6 months or whatever for uninterest income? Do you know what that is?
For the last 12 months, I don't have. We've earned a total of $125,000 since the beginning of the year in interest income.
Okay.
Total investment income is not that much different because the investment pool has shrunk. But we're earning a ton more than bank interest income. Which is why I don't mind bringing the money out of investments into...
we get more money.
We're earning almost 4% on the cash accounts.
All good?
All good.
Linda, you're up.
All right. So the reporting of filing dates, the annual project accounting report, Keith and Vinny met this past week and worked out what needed to be uploaded.
You should have seen a bunch of stuff, Vinny, right?
I did see it and I submitted it.
So okay, excellent.
Another couple of months, we should get an answer.
And then on the Char 500, we received an extension until November 15th, but Keith did receive a notice from the auditor that it's in the process of being filed currently. And then on the compliance schedule, we have a few outstanding people with regard to the financial disclosures. So about every other month I get an update from the county, so there could be more people that have completed this, but for the folks that are here, Warren, you are on the list. Let's see. And Vinny Tamagna. Those are the other ones.
I didn't do the board evaluation.
Financial disclosure.
Financial disclosure.
Yeah. How do I read this here? I don't see anything. Oh, I see lots of data. I'm sorry.
Next to lots of data.
So why is there some done and some not done?
Because some people did them. And some
No, I mean, yeah, but I get done here at a date here. When I saw the date, I thought maybe that was one of the.
Yeah, well, they don't give me the date. It was filed, just that it was completed.
Okay, I thought I did it, but I guess.
I can send you the link again.
I do too many.
Makes it easier.
Yeah, I can probably find it.
All right, and that's all I have. Any questions?
Okay. All right. Project update. Okay. We recently submitted for LCR 803, which is a Bluesboro Town Park that was for subsurface infiltration. So the New York State DEC is reviewing our certification letter for the 3 kilograms. Next to be submitted will be stabilization at Keeler Lane and Court Mill Road, which will give us an additional about 54 kilograms, so it'll be a big swing that we see. Expect to see within the next month.
If I can just say that everybody there says how wonderful thing looks.
Great, I'm very happy to hear that. They were very.
Yeah,
I understand your point. They were very good to work with and understanding of the roadblocks that we had. So we're happy to hear that they came out satisfied. Next. In the month of August, we expect to award contracts for construction on, John Simpson Road in Putnam County, as well as Lake Katona, LMU 1017. Those projects are both, I'm sorry, they're not both in the FAD. The Putnam County job is in the FAD. LMU 1017 is sort of the Muskie Reservoir and will be Westchester County funding. But we anticipate or hope to get some Army Corps funding to assist that one. In Lewisboro, you'll see that's on the agenda as well for an installation agreement. And we'll keep pressing ahead. This looks to be a busy end of the summer and fall. In addition to those two projects for construction, we expect to be out on Woodcrest Terrace in the town of Somers, and possibly one or two additionals to keep everything moving towards the end of the year. A lot of these items have plantings that'll be required. We'll do the best we can to get them in this calendar year, but in all likelihood, we might have to time it to be spring planting season. But many of them will be able to get the credit on the projects because the plantings aren't necessarily part of, unless the plantings are required for the phosphorus reduction, they may just be required as part of the project instead, which is slightly different. That is it, unless there's any particular projects you guys want to discuss. Do you want to do anything with Martin, or do you
want to pass on? No, you can take Martin.
At Kenton B1000 Longfellow Drive, that project is channel stabilization and filter chambers here in, up the road in the town of Kent. This is a project that we discussed previously where we are requesting an easement on private property to address about a dozen heavily eroded channels that are ripped through the side of the property. This is with a private developer, and in coordination with the town of Kent, will net us about 78 kilograms. With that one, the town of Kent is actually taking the initiative and working with the developer to address the outfalls which are coming from Longfellow Road onto their property, onto the developer's property. Those outfalls are the ones that unfortunately likely caused a lot of the erosion that's on site. So the town of Kent has recognized that, you know, anything we do is kind of in vain if that problem up there doesn't get addressed. So, you know, as we like to call it, the town of Kent does have skin in the game here on this project and are addressing the piping from the roadway down, as those are their requirements as part of the MS4 permit anyway, to make sure that their infrastructure is in place. So they just received notice yesterday, as a matter of fact, that they'll look to do that work in July, and working with the individual private property owners along Longfellow Road, which is great because that removes us from the equation of having to negotiate with half a dozen property owners. And since it's their prescriptive easement to address, the town of Kent's able to do that work very quickly. The next step on that project is submit to the DEC and the DEP to make sure we have all our permits in place. Because of the size of the project, it is going to require a New York City DEP SWIP, because we are diverting stormwater flows into a piped conveyance system. We're expecting a piping diversion permit with the DEP. Those submittals are expected to go in per the developer in mid-July, I believe it is. We identified a new route for the conveyance to go a different direction within the parcel. During negotiations with the developer, we identified that originally the plan was to go straight down the hill with the pipe system, but that is going to hurt his ability for any future development that he may want to do with the parcel, kind of cut the parcel in half. And in order to accommodate that, we reviewed all the options we had, and instead we've come up with a different length of pipe that we think can make sure that we allow the developer to still have a parcel that they can work with, and it satisfies everything we need for the retrofit. This pipe diversion and rerouting of everything is an increase in length of pipe and therefore an increase in construction costs, but in the overall impact of the project, it does not have a very significant effect on our efficiency. I believe with the project, we're going from maybe $15,000 per kilogram to maybe, let's say, about $18,000 per kilogram.
What's the total kilograms you said?
78. So it's in the scope of the project, it's not a large change for us. And I think it's a great way to meet the property owner in the middle to make sure that they still have something they can work with. We can be satisfied with the agreements that we put in place, which are still under review by council and their attorney. And it's still a great project that we're looking forward to getting done. Anything else I missed?
Nope. Okay. I think that covers it.
Yeah, so that's our project update. Like I said, if there's any individual questions, happy to have you address them. Otherwise, we'll keep pressing forward.
Next up, we have a resolution to approve a negative declaration for LMU 1017.
Okay, LMU 1017 is for minor channel stabilization and installation of biofiltration cells along private property within an easement in the town of Lewisboro. This project is about a 20-foot easement that goes down into the Lake Katona that we're actually very, very excited for this opportunity because it's representative of a project that is everywhere within the watershed. Municipal drainage that outfalls directly on a hillside that goes down into a local lake community. And that is a story everywhere. Pick a lake in within the watershed and I bet we'll find at least half a dozen. So this is a good case study and example of something that we can put everywhere, we think. So in the event moving forward, should a permit actually ever happen with the state again, and there are other opportunities for retrofits, this is something that we could visit a lot of different locations to execute. This project will not have a negative impact. The seeker declaration is an unlisted action, and will have no significant adverse environmental impacts, and we recommend moving forward as such.
And Kevin, for the purposes of the board, the part three that you have in your packet goes through the analysis of why Kevin thinks that there is not a negative impact, which includes the, he's working within the existing easement area, right, as I understand it. There's an existing 20-foot easement right between the road and the lake. And so this is a different solution because it's not just a pipe anymore. But the erosion control will mitigate the, according to the analysis anyway, will mitigate the potential impacts of expanding that area. And you are in the design, I don't think I have the design, but the design would, what's there now? Is it just grass, the area that you're going into?
Right now it is a pipe which has failed and broken.
But the pipe's underground.
Essentially. But it's underground, yeah.
Right. Above the ground, what's the...
Oh, okay. So above the ground, it's just vegetation,
right,
and a slight ditch that's formed over the years, and a lot of bamboo. So you can... Both property owners on this property line aren't exactly disappointed that we'll have to remove all the bamboo on their behalf. But currently the easement is vegetated, with just overgrown weeds and trees.
Right, so then you're going to clear that out, and then what will end up being there will capture...
Sure. What will be in place of that will stabilize everything, and will filter all that runoff as it comes off of the drainage area in a series of gardens, essentially, that'll cascade down the hillside.
Are you getting rid of the bamboo?
Carefully. Yeah.
Well, it's a multi-year.
We'll do our best.
Yeah, I did at my house. So I know it's a multi-year event. Yeah. It takes about 5 or 6 years.
We'll, in order to execute the project, we'll have to completely clear the easement. And the bamboo is, I think, if I look again, I'm almost positive it's entirely within that easement area. Anything that's outside of it might get run over by the construction vehicle during temporary access that we'll need, but I do expect that we'll need to scoop it all out just as part of the project.
So what kind of bamboo?
I don't know.
See, the highly invasive bamboo that just, you just drive down some of the roadsides here, you can see it in the middle of the woods and whatnot. It's very bad for the environment, it needs to go.
So this is a Japanese knotweed, this is actual bamboo?
Actual bamboo.
You're not gonna get rid of it.
We're gonna do our best.
You're not gonna get rid of it.
We're gonna do our best.
No, you're not gonna get rid of it.
It's a multi-year event, I have it in my house. I took it, I just, somebody gave me a root, I threw it in my garden, and I was like, started growing, I ripped it out. And I kept on ripping it out, ripping it out.
With all the land we're gonna be turning up and ripping through.
And I made the mistake of throwing it over in the junk pile, and now I got bamboo along the road.
No, my point being, you're not gonna get rid of it, and it's going to completely overwhelm the practice when it's put in.
The location of the actual practice, because it's a bioinfiltration cell, the soil is not gonna be supportive of the bamboo, so it shouldn't be able to grow and succeed there.
Really?
Yeah, there's no such thing as, the only thing that will stop bamboo is very wet ground.
Which is exactly what it's going to be, because it's going
to
be...
It'll go right up to the edge and it'll stop.
Which is okay. Our actual practice will be safe.
And thankfully we have a requirement where there's annual maintenance studies done on all of our projects to ensure that no bamboo grows in the town inside.
It's just like, whoever signs that, whoever signs that is... Jesus.
Wait, you do realize this is in the town of Lewisboro?
Oh, well, that's good. So, Tony.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, Tony. Yeah. Well, you know, if the bamboo grew back after we did whatever we're going to do, is that a bad thing?
As long as it's not in the interior of the practice, it doesn't.
Well,
really
the practice is wet, it'd be in the interior, otherwise it will be in the interior.
The bigger issue is the town of Lewisboro, if they're signing an installation agreement, which I'm assuming they are, to maintain the practice, including the hydrodynamic separator, is going to be responsible for removing the bamboo to keep the practice going, and I'm telling you, you're not getting rid of the bamboo.
Well, then the town of Lewisboro will have a maintenance to do.
Was
simple
there
as that.
Landscaping design that would mitigate that
asphalt
problem?
Cement. Yeah, cement. It will grow through the asphalt.
Oh, well, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it is a highly aggressive.
I tell you, when I was a kid, you used to buy these bamboo fishing poles. Buy them to 5 and 10. And I have a lot of them if anybody needs them, because I'm just cutting them down all the time.
It sounds like an investment opportunity.
We can
write EOHWC on the side of the poles and sell them.
Just throw it in my yard.
And then a wood like this, I just pulled some out yesterday. I'm going to put it right, bury it. By the time you find out it's coming up, it's too late.
Well, actually, so does this mean that you're going to have, like, mowing to do and stuff like that beyond, no, like, to maintain the practice, are you going to have to keep the vegetation down?
The practice itself will have layers of mulch in the interior of the cells that'll, for the most part, will stop all weeds from growing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been successful everywhere in other places that we've used it. It just requires some aesthetic modifications from time to time, but plucking those weeds and weed whacking. Excuse me. No mowing will be necessary. If the bamboo grows in around the cells, that is up to the town to make sure that it doesn't breach the cells. And if not, then we bring somebody in to do it. You know, it's no different than any other project that requires landscaping. I understand it's an aggressive weed, but there are requirements for the maintenance on the projects.
Well, the only good thing, every 99 years, it dies.
We have that to look forward to.
Not from, no, it's all times. I mean, that species, wherever it is, will die every 99 years. It seeds and then comes back. That's how it genetically changes slightly. But other than that, it's good. So, you know, that may be 96 years. Then you just have to throw preen all over the place when it finally grows or it's right back up again.
We'll tackle that when we come to my geriatric years.
Okay, so you were on the secret resolution. I just wanted to have a little more understanding of what the deal was.
I just did my financial disclosure.
Thank you, Warren.
But it was for 2022.
That's right.
Yeah, but
yep.
Just to make a motion to
approve the secret resolution, right?
Yes.
I'll do that.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, our next two items are for approval of installation agreements with the additional Army Corps of Engineers language included on both of them. The first one is YMU 40 in the town of Yorktown. This is for installation of bioinfiltration cell and some channel stabilization in the area of Ridge Street and Halleck's Mill near the downtown of Yorktown. It's on a municipal property. We'll be pursuing Army Corps of Engineers assistance for funding on the project. And that's this installation agreement, therefore, it is slightly different than our standard one, because now it also includes the designation of the non-federal sponsor as part of the language within their agreement and what that means for our organization versus the town of Yorktown. We are represented as a non-federal sponsor our funding, but in terms of responsibilities for maintenance and as property owner, the town of Yorktown assumes those responsibilities as non-federal sponsor. It's all defined within the agreement. As part of this installation agreement, it is Exhibit E. And projects already been brought to the town of Yorktown for discussion. I'll be presenting at their next available town board meeting on the 11th of July to have their town supervisor authorize the sign.
Can I get a motion on the installation agreement for YMU 40?
Okay. Mike, you go on second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So do we get those? Do you get the WQR piece? East Hudson, do we get that money? Can you apply?
So we get, so we have the WQIP direct funding from the counties that came in about a decade ago. And then when it comes to Army Corps, they have their own pool of money that comes in from that. And we make submittals to them and requests to them saying, hey, we have these projects that are available. And then they have the opportunity to directly work with us.
So yes, you do.
Yes. So
we
they,
never do, that's why I'm asking. Okay.
Right. So they do all their direct submittals to the state to get a bigger pool of money and then work with individuals like ourselves to, nice. To get more. So the next one is LMU 1017 again, as previously discussed, very similar to YMU 40, bioinfiltration cells, and the anticipation is to use Army Corps funding for this site as well. No other further adjustments really, I think, from the last description.
And then we'll just need to complete the blank for the resolution that you just adopted for the secret. Resolution.
Can I get a motion on the installation agreement for LMU 1017?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any update on the O&M program?
The only update we have is you may notice we have a new member sitting in the room. Sophia has joined us for the summer, and she's been working with Corey to directly start addressing all the O&M needs in the area. She's been working on learning the DEC stormwater manual itself and what's required for these inspections, what we expect the towns to be looking at through the inspections, and documenting any news, good or bad, for all the retrofits. And so that evaluation is currently going on. We encourage anybody who might want to get a brownie point to get ahead of us and make sure that you're... retrofits are spick and span before she gets there, but that's the only update that we've had. If any work has been done, we encourage everybody to send them in any notices so that we can begin documenting everything appropriately.
And we've got what, three of them so far?
Two. We got one from Carmel and one from Bedford submissions to date.
Yeah.
And I also want to mention that the first round of checks are going out today for the 2022 O&M
Did you ever get that? Did you ever get that extra $15?
Yes, if you, it's coming back to you today.
So you should
oh,
get
the $15, yes.
Oh, we overpaid?
Yes.
About to my list of 15 things that needs to happen.
Okay, who's talking about telecommuting?
Okay, so the. Yeah, that, I apologize. I thought I had sent that out to everybody. But in short, what it is, we don't have a telecommuting policy in-house here. And it was brought up by staff that is something that maybe we wanted to consider, maybe something we want to discuss if it's something that is going to be in place for the corporation for today or in the future.
Well, if you guys need, I mean, the way we do it in our town, if people need to work at home, they usually just ask the person in charge, and you say yes or no. What do you need to? Well, let me ask a question. Our phones here are board phones, right? So you need to have it forwarded or something like that, mm-hmm. right? So you
yes.
guys have done this before. What else do you need to be able to actually effectively work on?
Nothing really.
How do you get into the systems here?
Nothing really. It's just it's all in the cloud.
We have all remote secure access to all our files.
Okay.
We just bring our laptops home.
Okay. So you bring laptops?
Yeah.
Okay. And Linda, you have a laptop at
mm-hmm.
work? Okay.
Yes, I do.
And is yours? Do you? Yours?
Yeah.
Yeah. You just don't have the monitors at home, do you?
Okay. They're my own. But
okay.
So it's just, right now, it's the policy is, or well, we don't have a policy. We just make it work, and we do the days as we need it, and there's the flexibility there. But, the world is, there's plenty of jobs out there that do offer telecommuting policy, so the question is whether or not this corporation wants to look at having a policy in place for
so
staff and any future staff.
And
so
how do
we
know something? Is there a need for a telecommuting policy in the organization?
You absolutely should have a policy if you're going to allow it, because people have to be supervised. You have to understand when and how it's being permitted, and how time reporting is being done and all of that. So, you should probably have something in writing. I don't know if your towns have policies or if you're doing this.
Not really.
Not really.
The county has a policy.
It's, I need to work from home. Okay. Yeah, it's basically.
Yeah,
it's
basically we don't normally, as a practice, we don't allow it.
Right, because highway employees can't work from home.
Yeah,
so
they can't really work from home.
So the issue for me is how you
track files here. Well, they have to write it down on a sheet.
So where it's the honor system.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's absolutely an honor system.
Well,
somebody's in another building.
Well, it doesn't
always
have to be.
What's the difference between that and working in the office?
Yeah, I was about to say, if they're in another building on the town campus like mine, they could be playing tiddlywinks all afternoon until somebody walks in the building, and all of a sudden that all goes away. And I wouldn't know. It just doesn't work it out. That's all.
Your IT company could find it on the server, though, if they weren't doing their work.
The state auditors came to my place. They were auditing.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, we close at 4:30, and they sat there until 5:01. Because their computers somehow, they knew when they shut their computers off and weren't hitting the key. So literally, they'd be doing this at 5:01, then they'd leave. I mean, so you end up with all these plastic practices that end up, when you're actually tracking people.
Okay.
At the end of the day, you either trust people and the work has to get done. We don't allow it unless somebody comes in and says, I need to for this reason. When I'm sick, I have a bad cold, I find you working at home. And our biggest problem is we have paper files still. I mean, we have everything, we have laser fiche and stuff, but not everything's there. Intermediate stuff isn't there, so they really don't work as effectively at home unless your head's down trying to get something done.
Are you finding a lot of people wanting to work from home?
Well, I have two children.
All right.
No, I'm... In general, I mean, there's four of us,
right.
And
it's
I think one. There's four of us,
yeah.
And we're very flexible with that. If it's, hey, I got a doctor's appointment, okay,
yeah.
So it does pop up where there are circumstances where it just is easier, to make those things happen. But it's something that I think we need to discuss to either have in place for the future for future employees, And
well, you know, let me just tell you, certain people you can trust doing this. So you need the policy to the people you can't trust, because I don't have qualms. Any of you guys, if you're at home, you're working, I'm sure. You know, if there's work that has to be done. There are other people, they're out golfing. I bet it happened.
Yeah, but it's more than just a trust issue. We need to justify, because we're getting funding from other sources, that, you know, the corporation is being properly monitored and operating properly.
Are you interested in knowing how the county does it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the county, each person is allowed to telecommute one day a week. It has to be the same day each week. There are circumstances, though, that if you live, you know, an hour away and you have a doctor's appointment near where you live, then it makes, and you can't get an appointment on the day that you're supposed to be at home, then it would make sense. You'd have to be, there's a policy that, yes, in those types of circumstances, that you can switch your day and have that be your day that you work from home, so you're not traveling unnecessarily. And at the end of the day before you work from home, you have to let your supervisor know what it is you plan to do. And then, since 9 times out of 10 you can't do those plans because you're busy putting out fires, at the end of the day that you work from home, you just have to write up a little brief synopsis of what it is that you actually did. And that is our policy.
So there's no tracking ability?
I mean, that's up to...
Like, you know, they're logged on and they're actually working. To Warren's point, I can open up my computer, have it open, and then go play 18 and then come back like, hey, man, what a good day.
Even say what it is that you've done, and then you can... And then in some instances, you
quantify the time.
You quantify the time.
But yeah, even when you're in the office,
no.
Don't
to 5-day
have
work
to
week, one day from home.
Even when you're even when you're in your office, aren't
you? I mean, I work from home one day a week, and I
yeah.
put in more hours when I work from home than I do when I work in the office.
You're a good employee.
So even when you're in the office, aren't we tracking the projects that we're working on, because we have to bill them correctly?
There's a certain amount of trust here. Because it's such a small group of folks.
No, but I mean,
we do. We have a timesheet.
Basically,
we have a timesheet.
Are you looking to implement this, not for the 4 people that are here, as you start to grow and get bigger? You want to have something in place, so if you want to hire somebody, hey, listen, this is how we can attract more talent, by giving you an extra day at home.
Exactly. There is absolutely, that is a factor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So then I think we need to just figure out how a game plan is to say, all right, how to structure it. So I think we need to get a bunch of other telecommunication policies, look at them, kind of craft it, and then see how they work it. Because if that's what you're looking to do, nothing better than maybe the 4 people here, but as you start to grow and get bigger and try to attract talent, as you're seeing in many places, that the telecommuting portion of it is a big thing that you can work one day from home. So I would just gather all that information and then pick out the 2 or 3 that you think, and then we'll have a conversation about that.
That's
and in fact, that is one of the driving components of the county's policy. And some people in HR believe that they should allow more time at home because they're not able to attract.
Yeah, part of that makes sure you have to, software as a service is great. You have to, I have a lot of desktops still in mind, you know, half the people have laptops. So you need to be able to move back and forth with your stuff. People want home monitors and keyboards and things because they don't like looking at this all the time. And then you need a phone system that's very flexible.
And these are all relatively easy things to fix.
Yeah, you can just get something onto your computer, right? You get a telephone system into your computer and just earpiece it up and then go right from there. Yeah, that's an easy solve.
That is another county stipulation, though, is that the county will not purchase any equipment to enable someone to telecommute. It is on the person to have a laptop, be able to have access.
Getting a new laptop and getting a one monitor screen, that's a very minimal cost, right?
Right.
The laptop, but then the screens are, you can get a brand new screen for
$60
to $200, right? I mean, you could get a whole bunch of them.
Top end there.
Well, for Keith, it's probably $500.
Depending on what size screen you want.
The monitors in my office were $130 a piece.
Okay, so $260.
Tuesday.
But with regard to phones, there's never one time that anyone's working from home that someone would not be in the office. So it would always, someone would always be here to answer the phone and then either email someone, the person that's getting the call, and say, someone called for you, or called.
Right, but then you're using your home phone to, right, to, or your personal phone to make calls.
So we assume people have internet. We assume people have maybe some of their own equipment. Lewisboro, they have, we're looking at them right now, but voice over IP phone. If you can be over an extended, you just pick your phone up, plug it in at home, that's where it rings. It's transparent, right, but you're not in that office. So everything works, all the forwarding and stuff. They're not terribly expensive. It's the same price as everything else, $50 a month or something like that, $20 a month.
And I think you want to make sure that you're only using work laptops, right? For security purposes, you would only allow access anyway.
Well, that's a different issue.
Well, no, it is, but it's part of security.
It's part of the whole policy we need to have.
Right, because for system security, you're only
allowed
to use
things already. That's one of the things.
I would hope so.
Yes.
Because you would not allow a private, right.
Unless you're the
supervisor. Yeah, there's a result lockdown very soon,
right.
So only our computers can do whatever you want.
Right, right.
What?
You can't do it here.
What are you talking about?
You gotta follow the IT policy. You can't.
What IT policy? There's no IT.
So you're in Putnam. We Westchester guys. We're able to do what we want.
I'm glad I'm in Putnam.
This is my purpose. This is my
a lot
purpose.
Of things, apparently.
Yes, you are.
So what we'll do is we'll gather up, just to keep the conversation moving, and figure out, is there something that does fit the organization?
So why don't you do some research, give us 3, 4, 5 policies on work from home.
Yeah.
We'll take a look at them and see if we can't meld them all into one functional document.
Yeah, just take the best from all of them.
Sounds good.
Isn't the state and the feds having a big problem that nobody wants to come to work? And
everybody's having a big problem.
All doing that?
That's why we're trying to get this in place. Be able to attract top talent still, because no one wants to be in the office anymore.
Well, I'm only in favor of staying home. I give a call.
It's funny. Everybody says that, right? But they'll die to go out into a meeting. If there's a meeting off-site, they die to go meet people in there. Let's do a Zoom. No, I'd rather meet in public.
Right.
I'd rather meet face-to-face.
Right.
But they all want to work from home, but they want to leave their house to go to a meeting. So.
Well, everybody wants to work from home with the kids home and all
that. Well, that's because you get paid mileage to go to
it. Yeah.
That was the worst year and a half, was being home with the kids.
don't tell your kids that.
Well, let's strike that from the minutes.
Don't tell your wife that.
Well, she knows. She hated it too. You don't get anything done. It's ridiculous.
You guys couldn't hear me in any meetings for a good 6 months, because I couldn't get my microphone to work. So, yeah.
Not everyone has kids.
It wasn't a Zoom that my daughter didn't like. Every Zoom I was on, she had to make an appearance. And then run away. Every minute. 7 years old, of course.
All right, any other business anybody wishes to bring up at this time?
The Dutchess County MS4 Committee met with Natalie Brown from the DEC, and they said the same sentence that permit should be out any time, but what she did say is when the permit comes out, it's going to be the final version, and they will not have another round of comments, and that's it. Yeah.
So they won't accept the comments.
No more comments.
Yeah. And there are grants for MS4, for laying out your stormage drainage systems and everything else. I don't know if that's something we want to apply for. I sent it to you a while ago. Whether we do stuff like that.
We could, we're ready to assist the municipalities in any way they would like. In getting one of those grants, I believe that there would be a required match, and whatever that match is going to be means that the corporation here would need to be funded in addition to that match. So it would be, the municipalities kicking in, 25%?
What does it do? Is it the same CFA, July 28th?
I'd have to look at it again, but I would expect
it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people are actually going to apply for those.
Listen, back to the permit, though. It's somewhat distressing that they're going to issue a permit, and that's going to be the final permit, end of discussion. This goes back to, again, the heavy-handed approach that New York State is taking on all local municipalities.
Yeah, so when that's the DEC has said that multiple times. This is the last one that's coming out. It hasn't been because we pushed back on the legislature.
I understand, but the others that came out always came out with the ability for us to comment. You know, if Natalie is speaking true,
right,
then the one that's coming out, we're not going to have the ability to comment. It's going to be, yeah, there's the permit,
if
go
it's,
do it.
Yeah. But if it's, I mean, we've already commented on two. You can't just keep on leaving it comment, because we just keep on commenting and the damn thing would never come out. So there has to be a process that says comment. Now, if the thing is, if there's things in there that weren't in the previous versions or they're so obtuse that we want to say something again, we go to our legislators.
But in this case, they withdrew the permit, right? They're not going through a normal process, right?
I don't know.
They took the permit down from the website. So it's not, like, usually you have a proposed action, right? And the action remains public until, you know, while they go through the comments, and you should be able to see the comments. So none of that is transparent or available right now.
Well, do you want to say something like that? Would you write something like...
No, I mean, I'm just saying that just for...
No, you know, I mean, if you, because I'm
maybe
not...
Maybe we should have this conversation out of the
EOH
meeting.
But if you can just come up with a couple of paragraphs like that, and we can get it up to some of the Assembly and Senate folks and say, look, you know, this is coming down the pike. We were just told that there are no comments, and here's the concerns we have.
And she said they're going to pull back on some of the... conditions they
well,
put
yeah,
in
that's
there,
what they always do.
It's, you know, we have no idea.
Yeah, what it was like in 2017 was absolutely terrible.
Right.
The second one that came out was what, 2020 or 19, I forget what year. That was better, but still had some issues, and this one's going to have issues. Hopefully it'll be better than the last one. But if you could just write something up, and then maybe we can go out and get some of the other towns also to say, hey, you know, we have a concern, it's going to show up, and we have no idea what it is. So I have no idea what the proper legal process should be. Is that an internal process that DEC has, or is that a legal process that they have to follow?
Well, the permit issuance process is they have to follow administrative law. So.
Okay, if you could explain that to me, because I don't know what it is. No, not in too much detail.
No, I understand.
Yeah. And just so when we come back to them in another 2 months, when AFTER comes out and says this is bullshit, at least we will have primed the pump. Because there's a bunch of work. We have all the emails from all the organizations that can go back and forth. At least I do, right? There's a ton of them. You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
So we can even CC all of those folks in some of the legislature. I love Natalie, but she's pretty direct.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you build a relationship with her, she's pretty easy to work with.
Oh, yeah, no, she's
yeah.
easy, but just yeah, there's no wiggle room. It's just
no.
Black and white.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a personnel issue that's been brought to our attention. I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session.
You second that? You made the motion?
Yeah.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And under the motion would be matter of hiring, firing, promotion, or demotion of a particular person. Correct.